So just a brief summary of our discussions on week 7. And as we're getting towards the end of the course now, we've brought up this week 3 concepts. That is the importance of cultivating the observer. We also looked at silence and how important it is to actually to sit in silence. And the third one was looking at impermanence and how everything is impermanent. So I'll just go through each of those, just do a bit of summary on each of those. And the first one was the observer. So this is a very quite advanced part of awareness and of mindfulness practice, and it really is an elevated state of consciousness and a more elevated state than we normally would be in our doing mode. So it comes once we practice accepting our just accepting things the way they are. So in the beginning of our mindfulness practice, we find, I suppose, that our awareness is immediately captured by thought processes, by emotional processes, and almost as soon as the thoughts and emotions arise, we find ourselves inside them, if you like, captive, if you like, to the drama that they're weaving, and we get pulled into the story. And our lives can then consist of going from one thought bubble to the next thought bubble. And so training in cultivating the observer, we learn to distinguish between the part of us that observes and the part of us and the part that what is observed. So we learn the part of us that observes and what is observed, and we learn to inhabit this observing mode more and more. And when we learn to do this, we actually are able to step outside the thought bubble and also the emotional bubble. And this is a crucial shift in awareness, to learn to be objective witnesses of our thoughts, of our emotions, of our feelings. This does not mean that we become cold and dispassionate. It does not mean that we are no longer connected to the richness of life. But what it means is that we actually are more present and more connected to life itself. But we find ourselves, I suppose, standing back in a different relationship to our experience. We no longer buy into the narrative, and we don't get caught up in the emotion itself, in the thoughts themselves. We see them for what they are, which is, you know, part of the impermanent nature of mental and emotional experience. Everything flows and changes and nothing is fixed. So that's enough to say, I think, on the observer mode, except that it's really important because it enables us to step back and get some perspective on what is going on. Because if we're totally caught up in the loop of suffering and in the emotions and in the thoughts, then there is little ground from which compassion can operate, and we are totally absorbed in our suffering. So it is really, really important to cultivate the observer or the witnessing mode. So we're able to relate to this experience with more kindness and more compassion. And then the next element that we looked at was looking at silence. So being able to create a space for silence is crucial, I would say, for having a healthy mind. It can make the mind soft and calm, but this takes practice. So it's like almost like, you know, looking at the slowing down of traffic. the slowing down of our racing thoughts and feelings, where they're taking us, you know, where are our racing thoughts and feelings taking us? And if we can just sit in this spaciousness, in this silence, we can see that nothing that is physical is mine and that nothing is personal. So silence is really important, but it can also be frightening if you're not used to it. But it's essential for nourishing and to feel at home and enable our mind, as I said, to be soft. And once you have seen the benefits of silence, you will want to go there over and over again. And it's possible for everyone to discover this silence within. It's there all the time, even when we are surrounded by constant noise. And I think I might have used the analogy of, or the metaphor of, deep down in the ocean, below the waves and the ripples, you can find internal silence. Standing in the shower, walking in the woods away from the beaten track, being out in nature, we can also find silence there. So, you know, it's really important to be able to see, to notice our, like, our internal dialogue, our internal reactions. And we can only do that if we go into a place of silence. So it's almost like withdrawing our attention in a way from our physical senses and going inside the body, inside the internal space of the body. So silence calls us to a place of peace within ourselves. And I think that's probably all I want to say about that. We really can feel peace and calm when we are silent, because we allow ourselves to be. Okay. And the third thing that we talked about was the concept of impermanence. So and I think I read probably something from Pema Chodron, which may be on your reading list, which is Comfortable with Uncertainty. And she talked about how we know that everything is impermanent and everything wears out. All your, you know, everything we have and we own, you know, the our, if you like, our homes, our families, our possessions, you know, they will cease to be one day. So it's all, you know, about feeling that through meditation. So there is a feeling tone to it. And, you know, everything is temporary. Including all our attachments, everything that we're attached to. So it's the importance of recognizing the impermanence of life and also the impermanence of the things that happened in our minds, you know, the impermanence of thoughts, of feelings, of emotion, because everything is changing constantly. And you can see that the energy changes moment by moment. So nothing lasts, including the good things. But also, we can be reassured that also the negative things don't last either. But sometimes we can, you know, put things off because we think we will live forever, or, you know, we will be young forever. Or, you know, we can... if you like, the concept of impermanence forces us to appreciate what we have now and to prioritize, you know, our values and things we want to do with our life and not leave it too late to do the things that we would like to do. So this idea then that everything changes, we sit and we see that in meditation with the breath, with the way the mind works and with thoughts flow, with sensations, you know, that everything will change automatically. on its own once we rest the mind. This too will pass, you know. So knowing we will be okay, you know, even during stressful periods of our life. So don't take your life for granted. So when you wake up in the morning, you know, you can appreciate that, you know, appreciate gratitude, as there are a lot of people who may not wake up. So don't take your breath for granted. You know, as it's this amazing gift, it is life. The breath is life. You know, don't take your health for granted. Don't take your family for granted. Appreciate and love everything, or love into everything as deep as you can while you're here. And I think that is what I would like to say about impermanence. You know, Pema Chodron says that although we can buy into the truth of the concept of impermanence intellectually, she says emotionally we have a deep rooted aversion to it, because we want permanence, we expect permanence. Our natural tendency is to seek security, and we believe we can find it in our daily life and daily activities. So acknowledging, you know, that impermanence, you know, I think in meditation itself allows us, if you like, to relax into it when we're doing our practices. You know, and these practices are meant to encourage us to relax gradually into the obvious truth of change, you know, that everything is changing. What it means is that we begin to understand that we're not the only one, you know, that is going through this. And we no longer believe, as Pema Chodron says, that there are people who have managed to avoid uncertainty in their lives. But we look more deeply at impermanence when we do our next course, possibly next year, on the beginning of insight. So hopefully you found those three elements useful to be explained a bit further. Okay, thank you.